Let Me Get Inside Your Mind. Written by Susie Carter. Read by Silvercat 1620. Summary. Clark's first mistake is picking up the phone without looking at the caller ID. But he makes a few more after that, except maybe he hasn't actually made any at all. Notes. Translation into Russian available. Link in the original fict. Translation by Jay Jandra. I'm doing something a little different for Clark Kent's Alien Biology Week than I have for other events. Since my works for this week are going to be separate stories rather than seven chapters that are all part of a single continuity slash narrative, I'm posting them as individual works in a series. So if you're not subscribed, but you still want notifications about the rest of the fix, remember to sub to the series rather than this work individually. And here's hoping I don't manage to scare you off by the end of the week. Anyway, title for the series and titles for each of the stories are coming from the lyrics for Sabrina Carpenter's Alien. This installment was written for the Clark Kent's Alien Biology Week 2021 prompt for day one, Kryptonians Have Mating Bonds. Who knew? Clark's first mistake was picking up the phone without looking at the caller ID. In his defense, it's the middle of the afternoon, and he's still a dozen strides away from his desk when it starts ringing. He has to hurry at a Clark Kent pace, feet firmly on the ground the whole way there. He's grabbing for it upside down, trying to fumble it off the hook before it can ring a fourth time and then redirect to voicemail. And he's focused on making sure he sounds a little out of breath when he says, "Sorry, hi, good afternoon, Daily Planet, Clark Kent speaking."
"Well, hello there, Clark Kent," Bruce murmurs.
Clark shuts his eyes, almost instinctively. It doesn't help at all. Bruce is playing it up, the warm, lazy tone he uses when he's being his Bruce Wayne-iest Bruce Wayne. Dialed to 11, and that tone never fails to make the most innocuous things he said sound like pornography. Clark's heart is already pounding. Muscle memory. It knows what that voice means when it talks like that. Clark swallows. "Mr. Wayne, what a pleasure." And he knows he shouldn't have picked that word the instant it comes out of his mouth, but by then it's already too late. Second mistake.
"I'm hoping it will be," Bruce agrees,
and Clark reaches up helplessly to loosen his own tie, tug his collar away from his throat in the vain hope that that'll make it easier to breathe. Not that he needs to, but right now it feels like he does. Like he does, and like Bruce is knowingly drawing all of the air out of the room anyway. "Is there something I can, do for you?" No, Jesus, he can't say that, but "help you with" isn't any better. Bruce has some standards. He wouldn't actually say,
"Why, yes, as it happens, I could use your help with my cock if you could spare a moment this evening to come sit on it for a while." But that doesn't mean they both wouldn't be thinking it.
Bruce takes mercy on him, postpones the third mistake, but only by about 15 seconds.
7 o'clock,
Bruce says, voice dark and amused, because he must have guessed all the ways that sentence could have ended, and then some, and now they're both thinking it anyway.
"The penthouse?"
Clark bites down on the inside of his cheek. His face feels warm, enough that he's probably already turning pink. He should say no. He needs to say no. He promised himself he would. Not every time Bruce asks him for this, just sometimes. Enough. Enough to make this survivable. Because it's not supposed to be like this. He knows it's not supposed to be like this. He shouldn't be so goddamn desperate. He shouldn't feel his heart twisting itself up in his chest. Not over Bruce giving him a booty call. "Okay," he hears himself say. And he's just as bad as Bruce. Voice as hushed and breathless as if he were under Bruce already, with Bruce's hands around his wrists.
7. Penthouse. Looking forward to it, Bruce says, and Clark's already got his eyes closed. It's the easiest thing in the world to let himself sink into the sound of it. The rich, throaty tone Bruce gets when he's amused, but in a good way. Drawing closer instead of withdrawing to an ironic distance. Yeah, Clark says, which is inane, but Bruce probably won't call him on it. There's a beat of stillness before the call disconnects. A beat where Clark's still listening so hard to the other end of the phone that Bruce might as well be standing in front of him. He can hear Bruce breathing. He can hear Bruce's heart. And then it's over, and Bruce is gone, suddenly and completely. Not that Clark couldn't find him again if he tried, couldn't listen his way through the soundscape of the entire Metropolis Gotham metro area and tune himself right back in, but that would count as a fourth mistake, and Clark's going to try his hardest to bat somewhere under 1,000 today. The problem is, they're friends. Friends who sleep together. Friends with benefits. But still, at the end of the day, friends. Kind of a cruel irony that once upon a time that was inconceivably more than Clark thought he could possibly expect, and now it's a rule, a line in the sand, the one mistake he hasn't managed to make yet. Which is to say, he has made the mistake of crossing it, but he hasn't made the mistake of telling Bruce that he has. He's learned a lot about Bruce in the past few years. All Bruce's faces, the way he can turn on a dime from filthy to considerate to serious, and each one of them can be just as real as the others. Not masks going on and coming off, so much as facets. Pieces of Bruce that Bruce is turning toward him, choosing which one's going to catch the light at any given moment. And Bruce has let him. Bruce has given him so much already. Bruce brought him back from the dead. Bruce saved the world and created a team, and that means Clark is never going to be alone again, even if that isn't why Bruce did it. Bruce has seeded so much ground already, letting them all into the bones of his family's home, opening up territory that's been his alone for so long. His equipment, his tech, the cave, Alfred? It's so much. And that's without even counting the sex. That Clark can take all of that, knowing how much it is, how much it already means to Bruce, and then demand even more. Because that's what it would mean. He knows Bruce well enough to understand that much. If he said something, it wouldn't be information, and it wouldn't be because he just couldn't hold it in anymore. Not to Bruce. To Bruce, it would be an implicit call to action. Do something. Say something. Tell me what I want to hear. Make me happy. Love me back. And that's actually the best case scenario. Worst case, he wouldn't even believe it in the first place. He'd decide that Clark had led a solid friendship, a satisfying professional relationship, a little life-saving, and almost 2 years of unimaginably good sex get the better of him. There's no way out. Worse still, Clark doesn't even want one. He'd keep this, cling to as much as he can get of Bruce, and live with it. If only he could trust himself to keep his goddamn mouth shut. But he can't. He can't. It's almost scary sometimes how much he wants from Bruce, how badly he wants it. He knows it can't be the way it feels. So intense it's almost a physical sensation, a relentless, aching hollowness where Bruce should be. In a way that Clark can't explain, even to himself. It seems stupid and melodramatic, but
It hurts. And sometimes Clark's nonsensically afraid he isn't going to be able to contain it anymore. Last time they fucked, he almost couldn't. It got so bad, the effort it took to hold it back, to keep it from getting away from him, that Bruce had actually noticed it. He'd pull Clark's hands away from his closed eyes, the ridiculous psychosomatic ache in his head, and he'd stopped moving on Clark's cock, settled his weight carefully across Clark's hips, and asked him whether he was all right. Batman's focus, deployed as readily as Bruce Wayne's dirty talk had been 30 seconds beforehand, which hadn't helped at all. Clark had loved him so badly then, the feeling sharpening to a point an inch away from agony, that he'd felt his eyes sting. Stupid. So stupid. He just needed a goddamn break, that was all. He could pine like a rational adult without being carried away, without going on about it like he'd been literally wounded by it. Jesus. Except then he'd answered the phone anyway. 7 o'clock. Penthouse. And by that, Bruce Wayne meant the hotel downtown, the top floor set aside for Bruce Wayne at any hour of the day or night. They'd already fucked there dozens of times. Clark knows where it is, knows how to get there, the right route to take to draw the least attention to either Clark Kent or Superman, whoever it is that he happens to be at 6:45. He's there at 7, in civvies. And it would be safer to take the elevator, but that stupid, yearning, seeking thing in him is already tying itself into knots at the thought of taking a minute longer than he needs to get to Bruce. He moves as fast as he can, nothing but a blur until he's already safely on the balcony, and Bruce doesn't even yell at him for taking the risk. Bruce lets him in, and after 2 minutes, his clothes are on the floor. After 5, Bruce is sucking him off, seemingly just for the satisfaction of listening to him gasp, feeling him dig his fingers helplessly into Bruce's shoulders. Because after 10, Bruce has stopped and maneuvered him onto the bed instead, ignoring his cock entirely in favor of pressing him backward into 1,000-count sheets and kissing all but the air out of his lungs. Bruce is gripping his bare thigh with one hand, fucking him in short, hard strokes, and tipping his head up to kiss him some more when it starts happening again. Clark makes a helpless noise and twists his face away, grimacing. He's got an arm hooked around Bruce's shoulder, and he pulls himself up, squeezes his eyes shut, and tries to hide himself against the side of Bruce's throat. God, he can't do this. Not now. He can't fall apart on Bruce right now. Not over something so pointless. He digs his teeth into his lip, finds the sheets with his other hand, and clenches his fingers into a fist so tight the fabric parts silently under his fingernails. But there it is anyway. A feeling that stabs through him so sharply, it's like his chest has cracked open with the force of it. Twice as bad as last time. The empty, hungry place inside. It's clawing its way out, blindly frantic, looking for Bruce, and he can't stop it. Jesus, it's real. It isn't a feeling. It's real. He has a single pressed glass instant to understand that, and it's the instant when he loses his grip on it. Without all the weight of his desperate, white-knuckled effort to shove it back down, his refusal to indulge it, it leaps free of him and snaps into place, exactly where it was always meant to be, and the entire world changes. The borders of himself, his mind, what he is, are redrawn in an impossible blooming burst of light and color and sensation. Except it isn't any of those things at all. Isn't anything he's seeing or touching, but he doesn't have any other words for it. It overwhelms him, fills all the space where he is, and he'd be afraid except that right there with him in the middle of it is Bruce. When the room comes back into focus around him, he discovers distantly that he's still on his back, naked, clutching Bruce against him. Bruce is still inside him. He came, he's pretty sure, somewhere in there. And apparently Bruce did too. He's gasping against Bruce's shoulder, heaving huge, ragged breaths, shuddering, and he'd feel ridiculous for it, except Bruce is doing the same thing. Bruce is clutching him back, one hand gripping him by the nape of the neck, the other trembling around his thigh. Bruce needs to let go of him, needs to figure out what just happened and whether Clark is all right, except he can't convince his fingers to open, can't convince himself to allow so much as an inch of space to come between him and Clark, and there's absolutely no way for Clark to know any of that. But he does. "Bruce," Clark croaks, dimly stunned, into the side of Bruce's throat. Bruce is swallowing, trying to force himself to think, to work out what the fuck he's going to do about this, because he can feel Clark's astonishment, Clark's slow, creeping wonder, and if he lets that in, if he lets himself believe it, then... "That wasn't," Clark says, trying to get ahead of him, trying to figure out where that quicksilver mind is going to leap next. "I didn't know that would... that I could... That's never happened before." Of course it hasn't. A flicker of Lois, and if Clark could have picked, then surely he would have. Clark frowns. Slow. He feels almost solid again, the bed under him nearly as real as the sense of Bruce filling his mind, and he manages to get an elbow under himself to hold his weight and ease away from Bruce, who's still breathing hard, eyes lowered, not looking at Clark at all. "I've never slept with anyone for as long as I've been sleeping with you," Clark tries. And Bruce still won't meet his eyes, but it doesn't matter. They move in lockstep, understanding and understood. 18 months between Black Zero and the day Clark died, and he and Lois hadn't even had all of that. The root of the feeling isn't more or less, just different. Maybe it just wasn't enough time for this, whatever this is, to happen. Chance, then. Time, exposure, biology, a trap. Jesus. Clark shakes his head, helpless, something that's almost a laugh caught in his throat. Because he knew it would be like this, if he ever tried to tell Bruce. He just didn't think his brain was going to do it for him. And without that hole in the middle of it, the place where Clark's starting to understand this bridge, this bond, was supposed to go, the feeling is there. Just the emotion, now that the physiological urge, whatever it is taken care of. No wound, not really. Just the endless, helpless, tender, unwavering way he feels about Bruce. Bruce's breath catches. He squeezes his eyes shut. "Clark," he says, hoarse. Clark can't not touch his face then. His temple, the sweep of his eyelashes under his closed eye, his cheek, his jaw, his mouth. The feeling swells up, relentless, and Clark lets it because it isn't like he can hide it now. It isn't like there's any way Bruce doesn't know. And Bruce makes a strained noise in the back of his throat, sways in abruptly, his mouth soft, clumsy, and inside is in there. The new, bright supernova of him filling Clark's sky is... Clark sucks in a sharp breath in the middle of the kiss. And Jesus, he's an idiot. Bruce is an idiot. They're both idiots. You weren't supposed to know, Bruce says against Clark's mouth, wry and breathless. I didn't think you'd want to know, Clark admits low, letting himself slide to the line of Bruce's jaw, his cheek to Bruce's. Bruce doesn't say anything, but the slow breath he draws, the way his hand shifts to cradle Clark's face, would have said it for him even if Clark hadn't been able to feel what it means for himself. Well, Bruce murmurs at last, uneven, into Clark's ear. Your mistake. The end.